and investments to help your clients plan for retirement and finance their children's education.
Financial advice is always something that's going to be sought, perhaps like romantic advice.
Uh-huh. So the BLS expects a need for 72,000 new personal financial advisors through 2016. Median earnings were $66,120. And for now, maybe it's even more higher.
Probably higher than that, as financial advice is something that's needed in all kinds of economic conditions.
还有就是市场调查分析师 market research analyst.
Yeah, market research is a kind of research in which someone will always want to participate, and that in this sector, advertising is finding more scientific ways to persuade consumers what they want, and at the heart of that can be something like market research.
Okay, now let's listen to the second song, Beyoncé, Irreplaceable.
To Sunday special edition of English Evening on China Business Radio. And now it's time for Advanced English. Let's have a listen.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another day of Advanced Studio Classroom. We're on the second day of our sports article today about skateboarding with your family. Now, I think most of us, when we think of skateboarding, we don't think of it as a family activity. We think of it as a bit more of a rebellious kind of thing. Speaking of rebellious teenagers, we have one person who used to be a rebellious teenager with us today. Steve?
Oh, I thought you were referring to Hazel.
Oh, I thought so, too.
Hi, everyone. I'm Steve, and it's great to be back for the second day of family skateboarding. I had my moments as a teenager of rebellion, and I did do a little skateboarding as well.
Okay. I feel like, you know, back in the day, I mean, you know, 10, 20 years ago, young people got into skateboarding more as a bit of a rebellious thing. They saw it as a way to kind of maybe make their parents a little frustrated or, you know.
Well, or maybe it was just a fun, cool thing to do.
Okay.
It, you know, some kids aren't rebellious, but it just was cool.
Yeah, and it was something that other kids weren't doing, and they wanted to be more individuals.
Maybe, yeah. So I can just remember kids hanging around with their skateboards, you know, carrying them and skating on them and trying little tricks and stuff. So I think there's also a lot of good kids that used to skateboard that weren't rebellious, but maybe you do think of those others that... I think maybe one thing is because there weren't parks.
Okay.
So when they're trying to learn new tricks and stuff, they're doing it out in the street, and,
right.
and maybe it's illegal.
Right. Well, regardless if they were rebellious or not, it did have that stigma attached to it, probably unfairly, right?
Mm-hmm. I do think that many people appreciated it as more of an individual sport rather than a team sport. And I do think that that maybe contributed to some of its bad reputation as well. But I think there's a lot of benefits to doing more individual sports. Like, I know I like to do some hiking and biking. Hazel, you like biking as well, right?
I do. I enjoy biking, and I enjoy roller skating, although I don't do a lot of that right now, but I like it.
But now, I seem to remember something about your bike shop owner.
You know what? We have very famous dogs in the area, and it's the Bicycle Man has a shop, and his dogs can ride skateboards.
Wow.
And they're really good at it, too.
They don't just ride them. They actually push them and jump on them and direct them.
Wow.
Right.
In the direction they want to go.
Navigate so well. And when they're on the street and they come to a curb, they can kick the board up so that it goes on top of the sidewalk, and then they jump back on and ride. Yeah, those dogs are so rebellious.
It makes me think that if a dog can do it, then maybe I could give it a try.
They have a lower center of gravity.
Oh, that's true.
Maybe.
It is hard to keep your balance on a skateboard, and one of the things we talked about yesterday was making sure that you're protected in case you do fall off.
Right. And if you're a dog, four legs makes it easier to balance them, too.
Probably.
Right?
But anyway, these dogs are really cute and a little bit famous, I think.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I don't see them wearing protective helmets.
They don't.
We should talk to them about that. We learned yesterday that wearing your knee pads and elbow pads and helmets, all of this is really important, especially when you're first learning. But I think any time, because skateboarding is definitely a sport where you can continue to challenge yourself and do more difficult tricks every time you go out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we'll get right into today's reading. We're on page 29, and we're going to learn more about family skateboarding.
Mike Monteith, owner and namesake of Mike's Surf Shop, said the bird songs are unusual for the area. We see a handful of dad-son combinations, but it's very rare that we see a son, a father, and a daughter, he said. It's far from an everyday event. There's reason to think that the bird songs may be at the leading edge of a trend. We're seeing much more of this at municipal skate parks, said Mickey Vukovic, executive director of the Tony Hawk Foundation based in California. The foundation supports the creation of public skate parks in low-income communities across the nation.
Hi, everyone. This is Naomi, and you're here with myself and Steve and Hazel for the second day of March's sports article. We're on page 29, and we're learning more about a family who likes to go skateboarding together. So who are we talking to today?
We're talking to the owner of Mike's Surf Shop, and he's talking about the bird songs and saying that it is a little unusual for families to come to his surf shop to skate. He says he does see a handful of dads and sons coming together, but it's rare that they see a father, a son, and a daughter together.
Hmm. Now, there's an interesting word on the first line there. It says Mike is the namesake of Mike's Surf Shop.
I can guess what that means because the man's name is Mike, and his surf shop is named Mike's Surf Shop. So namesake must mean that something is named after you.
Right. We also use this term in families.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a daughter is named after her grandmother, then that's her namesake. So it's where the name comes from. But this family is a little unusual, according to the owner. So I do think that's another interesting point about this article, that this father is teaching his daughter to skate in a sport that's usually done, I mean, mostly by men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, little boys are a little more adventurous. They don't mind scraping their knee as much as girls might. And so traditionally it's been boys and young teenagers who are boys doing this sport. You don't mm-hmm. see girls doing it too much.
But I think a lot of women and girls are getting into sports that have been traditionally thought of as men's sports. And so seems like she's doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that there's a bit of fear that you have to conquer to mm-hmm. participate in a sport like this, because you are probably going to scrape your knees at least a couple of times, and you just have to sort of get comfortable with that idea. I actually, in doing a little research, I found a special community of skateboarding mothers as well. It is becoming more popular for women to engage in these kinds mm-hmm. of sports as well. And that's what this owner says as well. There's reason to think that the bird songs are at the leading edge of a trend. And what do we mean by that?
Well, the leading edge would mean they're leading the way. So the edge of something is the beginning of something, and they're just right there, showing others that it should be done or can be done, or that it's a fun thing to do with your family.
Right. So in other words, we can expect to see more of this in the future. We can expect to see it grow in popularity. And this family, the Birdsong family, was at the beginning of this trend.
Okay, and we see a reason for, maybe part of the reason why this is becoming more popular. It is a growing trend. We talked to Mickey Vukovic, who is the director of a very interesting foundation. Now, first of all, what does this person say?
Well, he says they're seeing more and more of this at municipal skate parks. More and more of what? Probably more and more of families coming together to learn to skate. Mm-hmm. And how about that word municipal?
Yeah, municipal simply has to do with belonging to a town or city. So it's the government, the city government, or the town government that spent the money. They sponsored the building of this skate park. And we're seeing more and more of those skate parks being built by the towns, which is great because, as we said before, years ago, it was the government that actually discouraged skaters from skating in their towns and public places, so it's good.
And, you know, even here in Taipei, there's a number of skating parks. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
I should try one.
Yeah. Maybe I will.
Bring your dogs.
Oh, there
you go. Take the dogs skateboarding together.
Now, sometimes it is the municipal government that helps support these skate parks, but not always. And the person who was just quoted is actually the executive director of the Tony Hawk Foundation. Now, first of all, who's Tony Hawk?
Tony Hawk is probably the world's most famous skateboarder right now. He has pioneered so many tricks, and he was on the cutting edge of skateboarding as it developed years ago. And so now he's very, very famous, and he's using his fame and perhaps his name and maybe some money to help people, help maybe lower income areas and cities have skate parks.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people know Tony Hawk because he also... There's a Tony Hawk video game, right? Skating video game. And he also started this foundation, which does want to help communities, especially in lower income areas, create these skate parks. And, I mean, do you think that's a good idea?
I think it's a great idea. A lot of times people in these areas don't really have much to do. They have free time, perhaps. Rather than watching TV or hanging out with their friends getting in trouble, they can learn skills and spend time together.
Mm-hmm. I've often, I mean, when I was growing up, I worked with a lot of sort of, I don't know what you would call them, maybe rebellious young people who sort of were... maybe experimenting a little with drugs and getting into some negative things. And one of the most important things for them was doing an activity that they were excited about, that they could get interested in, and that would help sort of be a creative way for them to use their energy. And for them, if we said, hey, why don't we start a baseball team, they probably would have said, no way, baseball's not cool enough. But skateboarding is something that they were all interested in. And I think another sport that's a bit like that today is also breakdancing. That, you know, it doesn't have the stigma of maybe some team sports, and some of the more rebellious young people can get really excited about an activity like that.
Another activity that's popular are BMX bicycles, you know, learning tricks and skills. But I would guess that might be a little more expensive to get into. You have the bicycle you need to invest in first.
Yeah, and even though yesterday we said this isn't really a team sport, it does bring people together, as you said, Naomi, not just families, but groups of kids and friends. And so it does have that power to draw people together, although it's not an official team sport.
And we'll talk some more about that power to draw people together in the rest of our reading. We're on page 29, beginning on line 15.
A sport for all ages. Rather than presenting skateboarding as a youth-oriented activity, we're showing that it's a family activity, Vukovic said. He said a generation of skaters who came to the sport during an explosion of its popularity in the 1980s still considers skateboarding a lifestyle, not a hobby. It's become part of the mainstream. Today we have parents, business owners, city council members who are skateboarders. As a result, more skateboard parks are being built, Vukovic said. He cited statistics saying that 65 public skate parks existed in the United States in 1996. Today, there are around 2,500. After a recent skating session, Harper and Miles took off their pads and got ready to head for the car and home. Dad took a moment to give Miles some encouragement. How's your hip? He asked. Good, Miles answered. You looked really good out there today, the father said. Life lessons can be taught with skateboards, Birdsong's pep talk suggests. Everybody has to try one new thing each time out, he said, talking to his kids. You don't have to succeed, you just have to try.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Advanced Studio Classroom. We're on page 29. I'm Naomi, and with me today are Steve and Hazel. We're talking about skateboarding. Just before this reading, we were saying how it is a good activity for young people, especially those who may like to be a little more individuals. They like to do their own thing. But this article is really talking about how it's for everyone. It's a sport for all ages.
Right. It's a sport that draws people together, and we're finding out that it's drawing the Birdsong family together. It's a tie that binds them together. They go out and the father and the two children can learn skating, skateboarding, and grow in their ability to skate.
Mm-hmm. So now they're presenting it not as only youth-oriented or not even as youth-oriented, but as a family-oriented sport, something that the family can do together.
Okay, so youth-oriented, we say that's something that's appealing to young people. It makes, you know, younger, maybe teenagers and kids excited about it. But this isn't just youth-oriented. Instead, it can be a family thing.
Right. So we're finding out adults who maybe grew up with it continue with this, even though there's the potential for aches and pains and maybe even broken bones. The older people who love skating continue to do it. A lot of people, maybe when they're young, they enjoy a sport, but as they get older, they have new responsibilities, and they have to leave that stuff behind. But not so with skateboarding. A lot of people are still skating, even though they're in their 20s and maybe 30s.
Okay. So this expert says that a generation of skaters who came to the sport during an explosion of its popularity in the 1980s, they think that skateboarding is a lifestyle. It's more than just a hobby.
Maybe it's just part of them. Maybe it's their attitude or something, or they just really enjoy the sport so much.
Yeah, I think of this in correlation with surfing, how surfing is such a lifestyle that surfers, they kind of live and breathe surfing. They're waiting to get out. If they're working, they're just always thinking about trying to get out to catch the next wave. And the same can be said with skateboarding as well. We mentioned before, there's this certain lingo and language that they have among themselves of how they talk. They have a certain style of clothing, shoes. It's almost a subculture for them.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Right. And so now those skaters from the 80s, you know, they're grown now. They have families. And, well, what can we do together? Let's go ride skateboards together.
Yeah, exactly. So during the 1980s, it did develop more. And so since then, people don't really want to give it up. This is something that they grew up enjoying. And so how can they continue it? Well, it can be more than just a hobby. Today, it's become part of the mainstream.
And the mainstream means an accepted, it's accepted by most people. Before, we mentioned that skateboarding was not mainstream. It was on the outside fringes of society, and people who skated were on the outside, and they weren't really accepted. But that's changed, and now today it's become mainstream. It's more acceptable to skate.
Okay, and we have some examples of the kind of people who might be skateboarders.
Yeah, parents, business owners, city council members, grandpas, grandmas, dogs. There's a whole list.
Yeah, I did actually see a website of a grandmother who's a skater, and mm-hmm. she's, you know, yeah, skating and proud of it, you know.
Great.
She's in her 60s, I think.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, it's impressive. And, of course, if a city council member is a skateboarder, well, then they're going to have an effect on their city, right?
That's a huge, huge plus for skaters, because now skaters have the council members. They have people in high places in the government to support them in their quest for places to skate in town.
Right. So as a result, more skateboard parks are being built. And then we even have some statistics that he cites or quotes from.
That's right. In the past, there were only 65 public skate parks in the United States. Wow, that's not too many. A little more than one per state. Maybe some states didn't have any and some had more than one. But at any rate, compare that to today, there are around 2,500.
That's a big jump.
It sure is.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
So it's a lot easier for the people who are interested in skateboarding to find a skate park, which, as Hazel said before, is probably a place that's safer than riding on the streets, and you can go there and be with other people who are skating and create friendships. It's a good thing.
Mm. And I think it also makes it more acceptable for families to go. Their friends aren't going, "What are you doing today? Oh, my goodness." You know, they're saying, "Oh, you skate together. Well, good for you." Now it's more accepted in people's minds as well. And so we return to our family, the Birdsongs, that we've been talking about, and they are just finishing up a recent skating session.
So at the end of the session, you take off all those protective pads, all your protective gear. Well, the kids were doing that, and they were getting ready to jump in the car and head home, but Dad took a moment to give his son some encouragement. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what kind of encouragement is that. That is. Oh, how's your pain? How's
yeah.
your hip? Apparently he must have fallen and hurt himself, and he just wants to know, how are you feeling? Is your hip okay?
Right, and I think the encouragement actually comes in the next part. But I do think, again, it shows that even though this is a bit of a dangerous sport, the dad really cares about his kids. He's not trying to get them hurt. He's just trying to challenge them to try something new.
Maybe to work through the pain.
Yeah,
even though
well.
Miles has a very painful hip.
Good.
Sore hip. He's like, "Work through it, son." And then he says, "You looked really good out there today." So he's mm-hmm. giving his son encouraging words. He's telling his son that he's improving in his skills as a skateboarder and that he needs to continue to give it all he's got.
Right, and I think that this is a great foundation for their relationships in this family. I definitely remember both words of encouragement and words of criticism that my parents gave me over the years. I think it does stay with you even from a young age. And so this kind of activity where the father can say, "You're doing good, I'm really proud of you," is a great boost to Miles' self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so again, we come back to the idea of life lessons in that second column on page 29.
And encouraging each other is certainly a good life lesson that we can learn. And you can do that. You can get a pep talk, which is, "Come on, Jayo, do it. You're okay. You're looking good out there. Okay, mm-hmm. keep trying." And life is full of times when perhaps we get discouraged or feel like giving up. We need a good pep talk.
Okay, so when else do we maybe see people giving a pep talk?
When people are discouraged, that's when you see people giving pep talks to those who are discouraged, and perhaps his son was discouraged. Maybe he felt like he wasn't improving, or he felt tired and sore, and he didn't want to do this anymore. So his father wanted to give him some encouragement, maybe help give him some more energy to keep going.
Maybe a group of salespeople need a pep talk. Sales are low. You can do it. Go out there and sell this product.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe if your English isn't improving as much as you'd like, maybe you need a pep talk.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give up. Just study a little bit more every day. You can do it.
Nice pep talk, Hazel.
Thank you.
All right. Now, Mr. Birdsong has one final pep talk for his kids.
Yes, it's a pep talk. It's also a challenge, and I like what he says. He says everybody has to try one new thing each time out. And he was talking to his kids. So it's a challenge to grow, not just to remain at one level. The purpose of going is to be with family, yes, but it's also to grow in life lessons and in skills. So he challenges his children to try. It doesn't have to succeed. All you have to do is try.
And I think this is really good because this is one of the maybe slight disadvantages of an individual sport as opposed to a team sport. In a team sport, of course, the goal is to win, so you always are pushing yourself. In an individual sport, it can be easy to just sort of settle and say, well, I can do this, and get very comfortable and not try anything more difficult.
Right. But you'll improve if you keep trying. So he tells his kids to try one thing new each time. And if they fail, that's okay. But at least they need to try.
Mm-hmm. I love that philosophy. Mm-hmm. If you don't succeed, that's all right. Still love you. Just keep on trying. All right. Well, today we also have a feature. So let's listen to that.
Hi, Grandma and Grandpa.
Oh, Ricky, you're here. We've been waiting for you all morning. We're so happy to see you.
I'm happy to be here also. I can't wait to eat some of your chicken soup, Grandma.
Lucky for you, Ricky. I was about to eat all of that soup up. You got here just in the nick of time.
Good. I'm hungry. So what have you two been busy keeping up with?
I have plenty of chores here around the house. Lots of cleaning to do. And Grandpa has been centering on painting the bedrooms.
Oh, come on, Grandma. Tell Ricky about the fun we've been having down at the municipal park.
Okay, what's the big secret?
Ricky, our doctor told us to join some more youth-oriented groups as a way of getting out of the house and maybe enjoying some exercise, too.
That sounds good to me. A little exercise will fine-tune your body. So what are you participating in? Dance? Yoga? Swimming?
Me and your grandma have become extreme skateboarders, Ricky. You should see her grind, kick, turn, and transfer.
What? You're joking with me.
Oh, no, Ricky. We wouldn't joke about this with you. You should see your grandpa down at the bowl. The way he navigates, woo, weaving in and out of those slower skateboarders, woo-hoo, your grandpa is awesome on wheels.
I don't believe this. You two are skateboarders?
Believe it, boy. Skateboarding has brought new life and energy to our lives. In fact, it's become one of those ties that bind. Whenever I see your grandma do a triple turn on her back two wheels, well, I just fall in love all over again.
Do you want to join us this afternoon for some skateboarding, Ricky?
Are you crazy? I might sustain an injury. No, I'll paint the bathroom while you two burn up the skateboarding bowl.
All right, that was today's English Evening. On behalf of our Editor-in-Chief, Alan Wong, and Editor Gu Hui, thank you so much for listening. Bye for now.
角为您报时，传承经典工艺，启迪非凡创意。瑞士天梭表，时间任你穿梭。